to the Web's Michael Smith. We have episode 41 of the Canes Cast to do. You know what that means.
What's that?
Everything happened this past week.
Wow, I'm not even here right now.
Yeah, I know. This is the magic of
weird.
Our podcast.
Yeah, it's weird how technology works.
You know, a smart man once told me, seeing you are at sea, that ahoy matey means hello, friend.
That's a callback. Right, what episode was that? Oh, that was after All-Star break, so.
I think it's our crowning jewel of podcasts.
It was one of the best moments.
Without a doubt. But here we are with episode 41 of the Canes Cast, and yes, it's a plausibly live Michael Smith is... the Web's Michael Smith is commanding the high seas as we speak.
It's kind of hot in your office.
Yeah,
isn't
I know.
Isn't it? It's a little toasty in here.
My office is either freezing cold or a sauna.
Yeah, so to peel back the curtain a little bit, I think we've mentioned this before, but we record in TV's Mike Maniscalco's office, which is perched above section, what is this, 320 maybe?
Yeah. I think that's it.
So it's the glass. If you're ever at a Hurricanes game, you've probably seen it. It's glass enclosed space with a little Hurricanes logo backdrop where a number of things are filmed in here. A number of web features and intermission reports and all of that. So that's our home base, and it's a little toasty in here today.
Well, don't worry. It'll get even warmer as the summer moves along.
Yeah. Ooh.
Because I'm very close to the roof,
right.
And there's not much between... Not really 100% sure what the roof is made out of here.
It's kind of spongy.
It would be. No, but like above us, like metal.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So it retains the heat, and then it just brings it down here to the office.
But actually being on the roof, which I've done, is kind of spongy. Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of a weird feeling.
That's one of the only places in this building I've never been.
Have you been on the catwalk?
I have set foot on the catwalk.
Yeah, it's fine until you start, until you reach the areas where it gives a little bit, and then it's like,
I shouldn't
don't know
be
if
up
I
here.
Trust this, yeah.
And Lord knows I should not be up there. All right. Why we are doing a very special episode of Canes Cast? I mean, we would do it anyway at this
right.
time.
Yeah, it's
but
normal for people who don't know otherwise.
Let's get caught up on some of the things going on with the organization. That's my phone. Oops. I see it is my office, so people know right now.
I've call-in guests to the podcast. We're now taking listener calls.
Let me see if they're actually calling for me. This never happens.
Okay, here we go. Mike Maniscalco's sauntering over to the phone and answering it.
Hi.
Ooh, it's somebody familiar. Ask him if they'd like to be on the podcast.
As soon as you want to. Let me just check with Christine and I'll get right back to you.
Things are happening.
Bye-bye.
So yes, this is done in my office, the Canes Cast.
Who was that?
That was making an appearance on the show. Carolina Hurricanes Director of Broadcasting and Media Relations Director, Michael Sondheim.
Wow, we'll have to have him on for a more proper Canes Cast appearance, maybe.
We have invited him, but schedules do not mesh. Mm. So
he's a busy man.
He wears a lot of hats.
He does, and our window is tight.
But it was a very important call I had to take that. It was setting up something in the future.
There you go.
That you'll be able to see on CarolinaHurricanes.com.
See, it all comes together.
Full circle, my friend. It's what we do. Well, episode 41 of the Canes Cast here today. Everything is happening. Since last we talked, lots and lots of changes for the Carolina Hurricanes. We know they have the second overall pick. We knew that going into Canes Cast last week. Episode 40, this is 40. But now the Carolina Hurricanes have a new senior vice president of hockey operations, the well-traveled Rick Dudley, who has been literally just about everywhere you can be in the hockey world. From a coach to a general manager to assistant general manager to the role he's with the Carolina Hurricanes. He is a well-respected hockey man around the league coming from the Montreal Canadiens. And basically, he fills the role that Ron Francis was reassigned to when he was dismissed of his general manager duties. And we know how Ron Francis' situation played out this past week with the Carolina Hurricanes. But now Rick Dudley is in an advisory position to help out the Carolina Hurricanes. And he's a good voice to have. He knows the league very well.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be, at least from initial impressions, it seems to be a pretty collaborative environment on the fourth floor of PNC Arena right now, where Rick Dudley obviously stepping into the position of, as you mentioned, Senior Vice President of Hockey Operations, working with Paul Kropelka, who is the Vice President of Hockey Operations, hired, I believe, is in late April. working with Don Waddell, who is currently the interim general manager of the
Carolina
Hurricanes.
And still the president of the team president of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Correct. And then you have, you know, in the analytics department, you have Darren York, video scouting, and sort of leading scouting efforts there. Eric Tulski and Kevin Kahn really diving deep into the analytics. And then, of course, Ricky Olczyk and Brian Tatum, assistant general managers, still around on the fourth floor. So it's, I think, a really collaborative effort currently. And I know Rick Dudley said he wasn't sure exactly what his day-to-day duties would entail, but he's here to help the Hurricanes in the best way he can. And that'll get sorted out as we move forward. I don't think it's a big deal that, you know, he accepted the position without knowing exactly what he'd be doing day to day. It's going to be exactly what he's done for his whole hockey career,
yeah,
more or less, is evaluating talent and finding pieces that fit here. And I have to imagine that, you know, he might have had an impact with this first move. I don't know for sure, but, you know, he certainly has been around the league, knows a lot of people in the league, is well connected. If there's a city in the league, he's probably been to it. If there's a job, he's probably done it. He's done a lot. And even outside of hockey, he's a musician. He's put out 3 records.
And he was a great lacrosse player coming up. He was actually a lacrosse player, more highly touted than a hockey player. He didn't get into hockey until he was 19 years old, really, at that level. There was a great article that was put out, and you read about it. And if there's a city where they played hockey, he's been there.
Yeah.
As a scout, I mean, it's legendary stories of Rick Dudley going the extra mile, literally and figuratively, to try to find talent for his hockey clubs who he helps out. And he was a tough hockey player. He was a guy that you hated playing against. And we'll see if he can find some of those players to help out the Carolina Hurricanes, Michael.
And he's got some history in North Carolina as well. Back in the early 80s, I believe it was, he coached and owned and pretty much ran the Carolina Thunderbirds of the
Southern American Professional Hockey League,
no,
isn't it?
No, that was way before. As the American Hockey, the America Coast, I don't know what it was, the ACHL, I believe it was. Atlantic Coast Hockey League. There
which,
we go.
Which I believe has turned into the ECHL after a few changes and morphs and what have you.
Yeah, so he spent some time in Winston-Salem, met his wife, actually, in Winston-Salem. So he's got some ties to the state. Him and Don Waddell have been friends since the mid-'80s when he was in Flint, and Waddell served as a player assistant coach. So those two have stayed in contact. They've worked together in a number of places, and so they meet back up here in Carolina, in Raleigh. And he comes from the Canadiens, where he served in the same position, the senior vice president of hockey operations. Just a well-respected guy, a well-connected guy. And he brings a lot of knowledge and expertise to the Hurricanes front office, and I think that's exactly what they need as they continue to retool the look of their hockey management.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, what Rick Dudley is going to bring to the front office, he's not going to be the general manager of the team, but I think as things are moving forward with Tom Dundon as the new majority owner of the Hurricanes, the kind of front office he wants is a collaborative effort, not just one voice or not the traditional way that we've seen it. We'll see how it plays out. There's still a search for a general manager for the Carolina Hurricanes, and there will be a general manager for this team. But I think that Tom Dundon wants as many hockey people that he can have trust in, respect their opinion, what they've been able to do. And then you just sort out what you want to make your team from there. And as I already mentioned, Michael, Rick Dudley, a tough player to play against in his day. Carolina Hurricanes make a trade, which is kind of quiet during this time of year to make trades. But
yeah,
the Hurricanes make a deal with the Arizona Coyotes, trading Marcus Kruger in a 3rd-round pick next year to the Arizona Coyotes.
This year.
Well, summer. That's what the upcoming draft.
Right.
Thank you. To the Arizona Coyotes in exchange for Jordan Martinook, a fourth-line player, an energy guy, a penalty killer, and a 4th-round pick in this year's draft.
Yeah, it's in terms of the money, it's about the same. The Hurricanes are going to save on cap space. Not that that's, you know, a huge issue or anything, but salary-wise, it's about the same. The Hurricanes are going to retain 10% of Kruger's salary. But in Jordan Martinook, they get a guy who's physical, a guy who's hard-nosed, a guy who's big on work ethic and loves to get in on the forecheck and retrieve pucks in corners and be physical. He's a big frame, big body, and he can contribute offensively. He, you know, his production was down a bit in 2017-18, but that's not necessarily his game anyway. He's not going to be relied upon to contribute consistently offensively. But if he can get back to the level he was at in 16-17 when, you know, he was in, I think he had 11 goals, 14 assists, something like that. If he can get back to that level, that's just an added bonus, really, if you're looking at a depth guy who's going to play on your fourth line. So all good things are heard about him so far. Had the chance to catch up with him on Thursday when that trade happened. And I know you're going to have the chance to Skype with him as well. So we'll get to know him more as he gets in camp here in September. And that's really when we'll truly know what he's going to bring to the Hurricanes lineup, because you know, whoever ends up being the head coach is going to have a large say in how his lineup looks. And so where Martin fits in, you know, come September, October opening night remains to be seen. But I think he's a valuable depth addition for this team. Not the flashiest player, will never be the flashiest player, but brings a physical edge that the Hurricanes desperately need.
What was your impression just talking to him of the kind of guy who's coming here to Carolina?
He's going to come in and work hard every single day. And I think that's an ideal characteristic you find in a player. And not that Marcus Kruger didn't do that. I don't think I don't think I'm off base in saying that Marcus Kruger didn't have the year that many expected him to have coming here. Obviously the Hurricanes weren't expecting him to be a huge point producer or anything like that, but you know, things didn't work out, and he was put on waivers in February and went down to Charlotte and actually had a good couple of months in Charlotte before getting injured. But, you know, for whatever reason, that didn't work out as the team's fourth-line center. So bringing in a guy like this who's an energy guy, like you mentioned, who's going to work hard every single day at the rink, every single shift, he's going to set an example, I think, for some of the guys in the locker room, and I think it's only going to work out for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I think that this is a move that for both teams. Look, in Arizona, you get a fourth-line center in Marcus Kruger, who's a pretty good face-off guy and a good penalty killer. And for the Carolina Hurricanes, they get a guy who's not afraid to be an irritant, not afraid to play the physical game, as a lot of people would say, but
right,
that's part of it, a work ethic guy, a lunch pail guy. And if you get double-digit goals from a fourth-liner in today's NHL, that is a plus. I mean, it's great if you can get that. So he's got a little bit of skill that comes with that hard work mentality, and I'm sure that whoever ends up coaching the team will find a good role, especially that he's a penalty killer, a good role for Jordan Martineau.
Right, yeah, he kills penalties. He averaged a minute 50 seconds of penalty kill time per game with the Coyotes this season. So he's heavily relied upon there. And if you look at, you know, perhaps where he fits in on this team, it would make sense that the Hurricanes, should they choose to keep him, you know, with the big club come opening night and play him in the bottom six, that's usually the type of player who's then going to log big minutes on the penalty kill. So I think a good acquisition by the Hurricanes, a good early offseason acquisition to address one of the needs that was identified heading into this summer.
Yep.
And it's really the first of, I think, a few moves that you might see this summer as the Hurricanes, like we said, newly retooled front office, takes a look at what's missing, what needs to be changed, and works to make those changes.
Yeah, and again, that's why episode 41 here of the Canes Cast, where everything is happening, we're trying to catch you up on everything that's happened from the last time we put out our podcast on Tuesday, so we'll do the best we can. And Michael Smith is right now, the Web's Michael Smith is now international waters Michael Smith. So
yeah, I'm sailing off the coast of eastern United States. I don't even know where I am at this point.
Might have to put the GPS tracker on you. We'll find out. That could be a new feature.
Yeah.
Where is Michael Smith during the Canes Cast?
Track me wherever I am.
Well, we know where you
hopefully
are.
Hopefully I'll make it back stateside.
We know where you always are.
That's true.
You're on the web.
That's very true.
Hence the Web's Michael Smith. All right, we're going to make a quicker version of this because, again, Michael's not here. So how we're doing this is amazing. I'd say magic.
I mean, it's a miracle, really.
Oh.
Everything is happening.
Modern technology, my friend. Normally when we call for this moment of the show.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
You have nothing. I ask you, do you have something? And you're like, nope, I don't. So we put it to
the listeners
fans.
Have bailed me out.
Well, we put it to the listeners again today to bail you out for this, which is they have a bunch of if you like it, you can take it. If not, you can send it right back. We've already heard from Will Ferrell, who I don't know how you haven't gotten him on the show. Are you with Will Ferrell on the boat right now?
We're in talks.
Okay. Well, let me know how that
is. People are talking to his people and figure something out. We'll see who comes on the podcast first, him or Mike Sondheim.
All right. Oh, my money's on Will Ferrell if we're betting men.
Or Bill Bernstein coming back for round two.
Oh, Bill Bernstein will definitely be on the podcast for round two. Don't forget, if you want to train like the pro athletes do, that's tpanc.com for our good friend Bill Bernstein, strength and conditioning coach.
We're going to send an invoice, Bill.
Oh, my God.
Just wait.
that is going to be a check that is going to be hefty. All right, here we go. Michael, if you're ready, this one from BW. If you like it, take it. Not send it right back. He bought right into it, B-dubs. Which is what I like. In order for the Hurricanes to make the playoffs in 2018-19, they need a new goaltending duo, effectively moving on from Darling and Ward. Personally, I'd give Darling one more year, but bring in an established number two. If you like it, take it. If not, send it right back.
I'm going to take it. I think you can build a number of caveats in there because I think you can come back with either one of those guys on the goaltending tandem and be fine. I think Cam Ward clearly established himself as a viable number two option in the NHL. I think Scott Darling still has the potential to be a number one in the NHL, but is going to need some work to get there. So I think both are potential viable options, but I agree that you probably can't come back with the same two because it just didn't work this year, and it would be trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, I think, to think that it would work next year. But I think either one, if you were to bring back either one, obviously Cam Ward is without a contract. Scott Darling is under contract for the next 3 years. So the easiest thing, obviously, would just be to bring back Scott Darling, obviously, because you're paying him. And I think if the Hurricanes choose to go that route, I think that's completely fine. They are going to need, as Brian, I think is his name, mentioned, a viable number two option.
I'm going to guess Brian T. Watson is his name.
There you go. That is his Twitter name.
Yeah, it is. So I'm going to echo exactly what you said. I almost was going to do another Will Ferrell movie quote where James Carville said, I have nothing to add. That answer was perfect. But I just don't think you can come back with the same goaltending duo that you had this past year. And what you need to have happen is either you get an established number one and you bring back Cam Ward as the backup, because I thought Cam Ward did everything that you wanted a backup goaltender to do this year.
Yeah.
And more.
Yeah, he was excellent.
To be honest, in that role. And I know what his makeup is. I know he is much maligned by this fan base for whatever reason. But it's like anything, when teams have a long, long run of not making the playoffs or not enough success, you point to guys who've been there the longest or certain positions. Like in football, it'd be pointing to the quarterback. Hockey, you point to the number one goaltender. It's understood. It comes with the territory, and all these guys know it. But Ward this year, and I've said it, and I hate to say it again because it's beating a dead horse, the most ironic thing to me was what had been missing for Cam Ward's tenure is a really solid, dependable backup goaltender where he doesn't have to play 65 games. He could play maybe 55. Well, this year they finally found that backup goaltender, but it was Cam Ward. So take that for what it is. As far as Scott Darling goes, if you bring him in, then you got to get a dependable backup goaltender for him. So either way, that can work. And Michael's already laid out how the contract status is right now for this organization. But I think we both agree with Brian that you're not coming back with the same duo. You got to change it up a little bit.
I think a change has to be made, but I don't think it's not going to be an easy decision either way, because I think both proved their worth in different ways. So, you know, Scott Darling, I think, has potential to be number one, but it's going to take, I think, a little bit of time. And Cam Ward, obviously, a viable number two option. But how do you make that tandem work, I think, is the big question.
That's what has to happen. And now that's the question that has to get answered this offseason for the Hurricanes, because that is, I think, the number one thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at what happened with the Jets and Connor Hellebuyck plays – has an outstanding year and an all-star worthy year, and the Jets make the playoffs. And that can really...
We'll go back to Edmonton 2 years ago. Cam Talbot played like a number one goaltender, and the Oilers made the playoffs. This year, Cam Talbot fell off a little bit. And the 3 years that Talbot's been in Edmonton, first year struggled, second year got it, struggled last year. when he struggles, when you have a goalie who struggles, you have a hard time making the playoffs unless you can score 7 goals a game.
Yeah, and that's hard to do in this league any night, really.
All right, yeah, I was waiting. I knew you had more to add.
Yeah.
I didn't want to.
It was a dramatic pause.
Thank you. Yes, go on.
Yes, more.
So this from quite possibly my favorite Twitter handle ever, at King Lazybones.
Wow.
That's just tremendous.
He must have jumped on that one early.
Chris Cavan asks, hey, Canes cast, Mike Vellucci being the next Canes coach, take it or send it back. This is a hedge. We have a lot of hedges lately because of how the Canes are. I'm going to send it back. I think that, remember, he's still an assistant GM too. Mm-hmm. I think that the role that Mike Vellucci is in right now, developing players with the Charlotte Checkers, who, by the way, are in the playoffs, and that's a big reason why we have episode 41 that we're recording, is the Web's Michael Smith is on the high seas.
And are hopefully leading Lehigh Valley 2-0.
I would like that, because I have to beat you this week.
That's true. We'll get to that in a minute.
All right. So anyway, I'm going to send it back. I think that keeping him in the role he's in right now is one that works. Not saying that it would be a bad option for the Hurricanes if Mike Vellucci is named the head coach of the club, but I kind of like the role he's in right now, and you can keep that symmetry. And again, if the Canes call him up, that would be, what, 4 head coaches in 4 years now?
For the Checkers,
yeah, if that happens.
Lots of turnover, and it'd be beneficial, I think, if they had some consistency down there. And I know, you know, in talking to the guys that have played down there this year, they enjoy having Mike Vellucci as a head coach. So I'm going to agree with TV's Mike Maniscalco here and say, yeah, I'm going to send it back as well, because I do think he's well-suited to coach at that developmental level. I think that's where he has the most success. I think he's had an incredibly successful year with a really talented Checkers club. Like I said, the guys like playing for him down there. I like the position he's in now, and I'd rather him, you know, stay there for consistency's sake, really, more than anything. So I'm going to send that back.
All right, yeah. And again, that's not that we think it's a bad choice.
No.
It's just more along the lines of the role he's in right now, I think, is really helping the organization, because Checkers making the playoffs, winning in the first round, playing for him, learning how to develop, and, you know, go back to his Plymouth Whaler days, yeah, as a head coach. He develops talent, and that's a good thing. And the guys who got called up this year were ready to play in the NHL,
right,
from the Checkers.
And he really just wants to. I mean, he loves coaching. Mike Vellucci loves coaching. So getting back behind the bench this year with the Charlotte Checkers was really a fit for both him and the organization, and it's worked out really well.
All right, this from Josh Holdner. He does not have a Twitter handle like at King Lazybones. Once again, a good reference for that. The Canes keep number 2 pick or trade for an NHL player with experience. You wrote about this in tweet mail. We've talked about it.
Yeah.
Once again, I don't want to speak for both of us, but we've kind of addressed this already in episode 40, but we'll address it again. The Web's Michael Smith and I are both on the same page of you keep the pick.
Yeah.
That's where we are. But you wrote it. We've talked about it off podcast and in the halls. You have to explore every option that makes your team better.
Got you.
People who are freaking out when they hear that, well, you know, if there's an offer for the number 2 pick, you have to look at things that make your team better. And if somebody comes in with an offer that just knocks your socks off, you'd be foolish not to take it. And I'm not going to make up weird things, but if you can get a top 10 player in the league and maybe a pick in return, you know, you're not going to get super high. You have to look at that, right? If you can put a guy on the ice who you know is going to make your team better today, and yes, you would love to think that whoever that you draft number 2 overall is going to be the next Patrick Laine or Jack Eichel, and we've run down the list of what the last few number 2 picks in the league have been and that they are actually contributors, you want that to happen, but you're still not sure. That's not 100%.
Right.
So I think that's where we stand on it. But we keep it. I think that according to this, keep the pick or trade for an NHL player with experience, take it or send it back. He's given us both options there.
We're taking
keeping the pick.
Correct. And sending back
the
trading
trade.
It away.
But
you at least pick up the phone and see who's out there. Because you have to. You have to, in evaluating your assets and getting the most out of your assets, you have to at least consider the option.
Nobody freaks out when the NFL has a team might deal out of a spot to pick up something of more value. People actually say, oh, we need to trade out of this spot. We don't need this guy. Look, the Hurricanes can use whoever is going to be there at the number two pick, and we have chronicled this. It won't be Rasmus Dahlin, the defenseman from Sweden, who everybody says is ready to go. So the Canes have their pick of forwards. You and I both very active on the old social media and the emails that come through. I think we know which way Canes fans are leaning for who they want to see come in here, and that wouldn't be a bad choice at all. But I will go back to this. People, you have to just explore every avenue to make your team better.
Yep. That's what it comes down to. But in the end, I think we both say
keep
the pick.
Keep it, make the pick.
Number two overall in Dallas, and should be fun.
And Michael Smith, the web's Michael Smith, will be there to interview him and then put said interview on the web.
Yes, that's the goal.
All right, this one comes in from @FuzzyFur.
Ooh.
That's another good Twitter handle. I don't think I would go with that. But Danielle wants to know, food-related for you guys, have a food item related to the opposing team on sale at PNC for each game. Cheesesteak for Philly, clam chowder for Boston. Take it or send it back.
It's a decent idea.
I like it.
Yeah, it's like a flavor of the game, more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd have for Winnipeg.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Or Edmonton.
I don't know. Maybe just poutine.
Yeah, but then, you know, you do that
is
for
that
Ottawa?
That's a blanket food item
for Canada?
All of Canada. So if any Canadian listeners, I apologize in advance for just painting your entire country with a
trying to remember
single
where I,
brush stroke.
No, I'm trying to remember where I heard it, but it's like you've never heard anybody say, hey, honey, let's stay in and order Canadian. Canadian bacon for something like a Canadian bacon
grilled
cheese.
Yeah, I might have to get creative with some of those, and I don't know. I can't think off the top of
my head. I like the idea. I'm trying to think of.
We'll serve airplane food for jets.
No.
Just like.
No. No.
Just say, here's an airplane meal.
You and I sit next to Chuck Caton.
Proud noise only.
On the Canes flights.
He eats well on the plane.
Yes, he does.
Oh.
Thank you. Wow, that's we double indemnity on our good friend Chuck Caton there.
Proud noise only.
Making sure we get everything taken into consideration for good old our friend Chuck Caton.
Proud noise only.
We had a question about.
We have legendary stories about Chuck on the plane.
Yeah. And we had a question about the checkers.
Yes, well, we did, which is what checkers. Brought this up. So yes. that'll finish this week's edition, because I do have a question. If you like it, take it. If not, send it back. But we have four good ones. So
yeah.
Let's finish up with the Charlotte Checkers in the playoffs and a playoff win in their pocket as they took out Wilkes-Barre Scranton.
Yes. The Penguins from Pennsylvania.
So it's nothing but good things right now for this Charlotte Checkers team.
Yeah, they so we're, you know, to peel back the curtain, obviously, we're recording this on Friday before I skip town. The Checkers face Lehigh Valley Phantoms games 1 and 2 Friday and Saturday. They bring a 10-game winning streak into that series. And to win 10 games in a row at any point in the season is very impressive. But to do it down the stretch of the season and then into the first round and sweep Wilkes-Barre is extremely impressive. So the Checkers are firing really on all cylinders right now heading into their series against Lehigh Valley Phantoms, who finish first in the Atlantic Division, the Checkers finishing fourth. So this series is going to start on the road before it shifts back to Charlotte for games 3, 4, and if necessary, game 5. But it should be a good series. I don't know much about the AHL because a lot of our attention during the hockey season is obviously focused on the Hurricanes and the NHL. But from what I've read, the Lehigh Valley Phantoms have a pretty potent offense, almost as potent as the Checkers had this season. Greg McKegg leading the way for the Checkers in terms of playoff scoring. That's only through 3 games, though. But it should be a good series, and hopefully the Checkers can keep it rolling. And by this time you're listening to the podcast on Monday, hopefully it's a 2-0 series advantage for the Checkers.
Absolutely. And then I get to be you on Tuesday and Wednesday in Charlotte.
So if you see TV's Mike Maniscalco down at Bojangles Coliseum on either Tuesday or Wednesday night, be sure to stop by and say hello.
I will be there.
They've got dollar hot dogs on Tuesday and dollar beer on Wednesday.
Well, that doesn't help me.
$1 beer.
Doesn't help me.
Doesn't help you. It helps the listeners, hopefully.
I know. I was going to say, I don't drink when I work. I don't know how you do it on the in the press box, but I don't really have the time
to
do it.
So. No, there's no not on the job.
Used to be. The old days, it used to be. They'd have beer up cigars in the press box and cigars, but that has changed a little bit.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, I did go see Avengers Infinity War, but we'll wait for you to come back for movie reviews. Plus, it's still too soon. There'd be spoilers on that. And Solo is coming
out. Yeah, we got to talk
about
closer
Solo, to that. So, all right, that'll do it for episode 41 of the Canes Cast. Everything is happening for Michael Smith, who is somewhere under the blue moon of Tahiti on a boat.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco, who will be heading down the road to Charlotte very soon.
We will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.